Ele pode ser de uma rapela, isso dá de mala, de um leve. E se você tem isso, não dá para fazer assim, se dá o Hashem Tzvot, se ele mora 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 o Hashem Tzvot, if you don't think that your Rebbe is a holy person like a Malach, you're not permitted to learn Torah by him. That's what he did. Mori asked in Chagigah, so how did Rebbe Meir learn by Elisha ben Avuya? He was a Balah there. How could he learn any Torah by him? See, the Torah was good. He could have the Torah by his tradition. But you're not permitted to learn by a person if he's not learning the Malach Hashem Tzvot, because you're afraid he's going to pick up, you need Tamid to pick up everything from the Rebbe. Or they pick up only the bad things from the Rebbe. It's very rare that a commoner picks up the good things from the Rebbe. So the Gemara is not what may allow to do, so the Gemara says it depends. If it's a young Talmud, if it's all the time that he's not such a great Talmud from himself, he's not allowed to learn by a person whom he doesn't consider a holy scholar. If it's a person like that Meir, at the time he learned to learn by Elisha ben Avuya himself, he already was a great Torah scholar. He knew how to learn. He knew how to discern between right and wrong, so he would only learn the Torah, so that's all folks he thought was there. You don't learn a Torah from Elisha ben Avuya, he wouldn't pick up the Apikursus. He wouldn't come up the Torah. He wouldn't pick up the Apikursus and the other things. So the Shach writes to the other day that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't quote that. Apparently, he says, apparently, either they hold it on Pashmach like Reb Meir, he passed on to the other Talmud who didn't want to learn by Elisha ben Avuya, even though they wrote the great Talmud of Hachamim. Or even if you do Pashmach Reb Meir, maybe the Shulchan Aruch holds that we don't have such people with Manah Zeh who are not Madreg, that they would be careful only to learn the good things and not the bad things. It's a real thing. You're not permitted to learn by a Rebbe who's not a relation, who's not an adopted to mitzvah. There's another din in the reverse direction also. The Rebbe is not permitted to teach to Talmud Shein Hogan. He's not allowed to teach Torah to a Talmud who's not observant. So the children of Talmud Vasa is a person permitted to teach in a conservative or reformed seminar. He himself is a religious man. He's not going to be compromising his religious principles at all. That's his kanon. He wants to teach this, he wants to teach this. So he says it's absolutely prohibited. He wasn't a kanon. The former Rasha was that Swan out of kanon. He's the one who wrote the truth. The first two were about Yom Ha'atzmaut, and Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut, and Shachan was about Rasha and everything. So he's absolutely not a kanon at all. He's my father's wife. He was appointed Rasha when my father lived in Europe. Like you saw, a month before my father came to America, he was appointed Rasha. He was always from the Mizrachi. He was a member of the Mizrahi in Europe. That's why he never got a big Rabbanus, he never touched a drug. Because in Europe, if he didn't belong to Aguda, he didn't get a good position. It was a great gun. So he writes, it's a real gift. You know what he's talking about? It's not a meter question, it's a real thing. We're not permitted to teach the Talmud and others. The Torah has to be transmitted from tradition to tradition to tradition. We're not supposed to transmit Torah to people who are not shunning it. We're not permitted to learn Torah from a person who's not done the Malachat himself. But the style, what does that mean? The Rav has to be done by the Malachim Shem, says there are different kinds of Malachim. No? There are Malachim Yeretz Yisrael, Malachim Kutzla, says Eitra Shem HaMachim Ahum Machanoyim. So Rashi says two Machanoyim. So Malachim Kutzla, Oyim and Yodim, Rashi says Hakam Oyim and Yodim, should be the reverse. So Rashi says the Malachim are in heaven, so they should first come down to the earth and then go back up. Hakam they're going up first. So Malachim Moshe Malachim should be in heaven, so there's no. The Malachim from Eretz Yisrael who were going with Yaakov to Malachim Salah Smokah the Holy Rechef went up to heaven. Then new Malachim came down who were going to go within the Kutzlah. So there's a Malachim in Eretz Yisrael. When he comes back, after being away for so long, at the end of the race, when he comes back, he calls Machmahu Machanoyim. So as he says, the switch of the Malachim in the reverse. Now the Malachim Kutzlah went back up. The Malachim Eretz Yisrael came back down again. So the different Malachim, let's say, when many of you learned in Eretz Yisrael, you had Rebbe to one style Rebbe. That's one kind of Malachim. It's worth a different kind of malachim. In every city, there are different kinds of malachim also. Look, in Williamsburg, there are different kinds of malachim. Washington has different kinds of malachim. In Queens, different malachim. There are different, just like your malachim in Eretz Yisrael, there are different malachim in Eretz Yisrael, Zutra. Zutra is Zutra. They're all able. Look, there are all kinds of Zutra. It has to be such a malachim. It has to be some kind of a malachim. Okay, you got to do a little chazara. Sort of is going to divide my time in half, I really say that. Let's see, there is a din of different barayim. If something is safe, and it gets mixed in with kosher food, so under certain conditions, it can become better in barayim and turn into kosher. The Gemara says in Sardis and Dr. Gimel as well as anyway, it says that the din of different barayim not only applies to a place getting mixed into kosher, It applies also when a Dava Tomer gets mixed into a Dava Tohor, that the Tumer becomes Bosom. The Gemara there in Tzeres HaTzadzina raises a question, what is the nature of this Dina Bittu Baraj? Do you declare that Liyut Keman, you say Keman, do you say Dami or Keman the later Dami? If something is Bosom Baraj, you say it's really there, but you have a right to ignore it, or the Halacha says that you consider it as if it's not there. A slight difference between the two. Like, what's the difference? It's a very slight distinction. So the Gemara gives you two nafkaminis here. One is when you say Tzadzinir, and number two, whether you have a too much matzah. Whether you have a too much matzah. Exactly how do we pass it, and that's the opinion. So there is a contradiction in the Rambam, as you're listening. There is a contradiction in the Rambam as far as how he quotes the Gemara. He quotes two dinim, which the Gemara says are interrelated and contradictory. One is based on the assumption that when you have something bottled the right to command, you should join. One is based on the assumption on the left to join. So the Mahari Purti is quoted by the Sefer Nisan. The side of the Rambam says that the way to answer the Rambam is, there is a point in the Gemara where there's something difficult. And it's not so simple how do you read Vayikra. So the Rambam understood that at that point the Gemara came to the realization that you distinguish between Lach Salach as opposed to Yavid Yavid. So if you have a Talmud of Yavid Yavid, one chasicha shreifa chasfu get mixed in with several chasicha chasfu. But I realize that Yavid Yavid, I consider each one is only Vishnu Yashu. I consider it as if it's commanding you say Zamin. But Allah says I have a right to eat everything. I have a right to ignore the fact that these shreifa do. But if you have a chasicha of Lach Salach, then it really blends in. Lach Salach means with a glula. Yavid Yavid means when there's no glula. That's how the soft voice in the other day is definition. Whenever there's a glula, there's a chasicha and the thing is bottled altogether. But then we consider it as if to Mandalay Sajan. What would be the Nafsimina Allah Almighty? He said that's the complicated Rambam. We have a difference in Hilchot Tesef. That's what Shlomo Lavilna points out in the back of the Gemara in the Vilna Shas. They had the Horus on Shlomo Lavilna. He was a Zion in Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the younger brother of Rabbi Chalo Vilna, whom he considered the biggest genius of the world ever saw. He himself was a genius. Shlomo Lavilna was also a genius. He considered his brother the biggest genius of all the geniuses. That's one of the Rambam's Torah, the Chesed Shlomo, in the back of the Gemara. He was the Magia on his only son. And it was simple, he was Magia. He was one of his descendants, you see, already here in Yeshiva, Marcella. He died a long time ago, died 30 years ago. So he told over that the way he was Magia, the family tradition of the way he was Magia, the only son, was from memory. He didn't look at an old Gemara on top of it. He was shot for help. So they printed out the pages, so he went through with the street. That's every word. Rashi also wants that. That's why you have sometimes mistakes in the Vilna Shas that don't appear in any other Gemara. No, the other Gemara don't have it because he collected it by memory. And sometimes you have mistakes that in the use of literature mispronunciation. Sometimes you have a stomach instead of a shin. So in the literature pronunciation, sometimes you used to say a shin instead of a shin. So there was a stomach printed in a Rashi, a couple of places like that. The stomach printed in a Rashi, and I didn't realize that it was a mistake. Anyway, that's for you, the great guy. So he has in the Ha'orish on Ha'orish.com, he points out that the Ramon, who has faced up, distinguishes between the Tarubis of Lach Salah and the Tarubis of Yavis B'Yavis with respect to Chayt B'Niya. Chomech in his Batom, Chayt Ma'chefa, Chomech in Dimashim Zomim, Chomech in Asara B'Pesha, Chomech in Asara Chayt Ma'chefa is Bokul. But the question is, fine, it's bottled, but it's not paper. Even if it wouldn't be bottled, you can eat it. There's a comment on Purim, comment on Tanakh. You can eat Purim, eat comment even if it's not bottled. But then when it gets mixed in now, and then when it comes paper, so I should say, now the comment is in mushroom. Comment on error paper, okay, not permitted to eat comment on error paper in the afternoon. But then we say the comment is bottled the sheep soon, error paper, that's important. And we say today, comment is bottled the sheep. Does that have any significance? Today, you can eat comment even if it's not bottled. And then it's going to come Pesach, the Makari should say that Chomet is the Mashir. But the Ramah says, no, that's the question you say Chayzer the Nier on that. If Chomet became Bottle today, and then it comes Pesach, you say that since it already became Bottle, it remains Bottle, you say, no, it's Chayzer the Nier. It strengthens itself again, and it wakes up, like a person who's asleep, wakes up, so the Chomet now is the Mashir when it comes Pesach. So that's the Machalikis Nierishan, where the Chomet in his Bottle said about Pesach, and it comes Pesach, you say Chayzer the Nier on that. So the Ramon makes a compromise between Lach Salach and the other Gemara. Where did it come from? The answer is it comes straight from the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that this issue as to whether you say Chazir hinges on the question of Keman Yisrael, Keman Galeh, Keman. And the Rambam, according to the understanding of the Marikut, is taught by the Chesed, and the Rambam understood the Hemshech HaGemara to say that there's a distinction between Lach Balach and Yavis Diyavis. So by Yavis Diyavis, you will say Chayz of an ear. It's really commandment, you say, but you have the right to ignore it. But by Lach Balach, you assume that it's Mamish command Lezlan. If it's Mamish Lezlan, then you can't say Chayz of an ear. There is another distinction regarding the bit of Ein Mevatlin Yisr Lechatzula. The Gemara has a principle that you're not permitted to take a little chazus mouth and throw it into a pot of kosher soup. Ein Mevatlin Yisr Lechatzula. Is that a biblical prohibition? Is that only asking the Rabbanim for it or not? The Raya's opinion is that Ein Mevatlin Yisr Lechatzula is an Yisr Lechatzula. But we don't pass along the Raya's, we pass along the Raya's, and all of a sudden that it's only an Yisr Lechatzula. Some Gemara Yehudit, and it's Silvis, and it comes up with a Chidish, and then the later person points out that this Kiddush already appears in the La'or, and the Berek Habayis on the side of the Teres Habayis. So this is only by Medram Amurim, the name of Atalish Mahat Kiddush is only the Rabbanon, that's only the Tarubis of Lach Balach. He's pouring a little Chagash mouth into the soup and it's going to blend in, it's going to be teaching, you're not going to taste it, but then it's only also the Rabbanon. But to go to the store and buy, let's say, buy 100 kosher salami, 99 kosher salami. And that's called Bitl Chadishe. Chadishe Apipatsis doesn't require, that's how most of the persons do. You don't require a queso. You don't require twice as much. You don't have to have 200 kosher salami against 100 kosher salami. Chadishe means you get slightly more. If you have 100 kosher salami, it's 99 kosher salami. Suppose they all have the wrappers on them, so obviously there's no tarugas. Tarugas means that it's not neat to harita. So he'll remove all the wrappers. He doesn't have to remove all the wrappers, but this is in the case of doing the kosher. So he mixes it all together until exactly the same size and the same ingredients, everything he sends us that this is kosher meat and this is the kosher meat. Mixes it together after removing the wrappers and he cannot distinguish which from which. So they're all right, and the Yehuda was Mechadish this on his own, and later generations, many other Achronim say like that, but that's certainly an Issa Deraita. It's mixed together. Yavish be Yavish. Everybody is talking about Yavish be Yavish. It's certainly an Issa Deraita. Certainly an Issa Deraita. That's Mamish Kamanda Issa Deraita. Ein mevatlin yisr lechatzula. What if the goy already mixed in? Let's say there's a product that they sell in the supermarket, and we know that there is a non-kosher ingredient that is so insignificant that it doesn't do the tamen, it doesn't do the reich, and it doesn't do the mare, and it doesn't do the mame, it doesn't do anything, absolutely nothing. So what they mixed it in for is a good question. Why in the world do they mix it in? That's a question. How can you ever say that any ingredient in a product is bubble? Why do they mix it in? What are they changing? Okay, that's what they sometimes do. They sometimes fool the customers into believing, oh, this herring has wine in it. They advertise, this is wine herring. How does it have wine in the herring? It's a bluff. They have a bottle of wine in the factory. That's all. They don't mix in the wine in the herring. When the government inspector comes and he says, are you really putting in the wine? He says, absolutely. So he takes the bottle and pour in a drop of wine. Yes, sir. So he can't sue them in court. When the government inspector came, he poured in a drop of wine. But when the government says it's not that, they don't mix in any wine. That's the practice. So sometimes they put it in for blood. In order to put it in the ingredients that we have chagas mouth. They put in a little chagas mouth just to charge more money. So make believe as if it's a rich or something like that, a bucky. And sometimes that's for blood. But sometimes they do put it in. It's not a question. So why do they put it in? They put it in for a reason. So how do you talk it? Okay, that's a question. Maybe sometimes not blood. So the question that the question debate is, what if there's a product on the market? It has a tarulus of Easter in it, which should really be buckled. You have sheep against it, you don't have anything time, and nothing, there's no reason why it should not be buckled. So, do you say, since it's already buckled, you're permitted to buy it, or perhaps you should say that purchasing things from the store is the act of Easter. That's the same about the nation of Hatsila. Maybe buying it is the act of Easter. So there is a deal in the other day that an Easter only becomes buckled the Hester when there's no Daha tarulus. When the person is aware of the fact that it's mixed in. Suppose man that he does know it's mixed in, so there's no deal that the decision should come out based on a perception to me. But before you deal, that's how it is. There's no business. Machaba has that, Ramo has that, in different places, there's no story. You have to have no daha tarulis. So there is a question in the Rishonim, of the Kedush and Machlevish in the Rishonim, no daha tarulis to whom? Do we insist that we know daha tarulis to the Baal HaOichol? I know the Hatarula is to anybody, as long as I'm aware of it. You see, this is the question. Let's say it's a Goyish company. They know they're missing Chazus Mouth, but it's irrelevant to them. As far as they're concerned, they can eat all the places they want. They're not Jewish people. You can't call that Noda Hatarula. Noda Hatarula means that there's only a Dina Biku when it's Negev Lahalofa. Suppose when it's not Negev Lahalofa, you don't even realize that you have a problem on your hands, and you can't solve the problem before you know that you have a problem. But this is Barabbas is a solution to a problem. You gotta have a question before you give an answer. So the question is comes when you have the idea, it's not the rubbish. When you realize you got a problem on your hands, then the solution to the problem is, oh, we can apply the thing called Dita. But Dita doesn't happen automatically, no way low. Dita is only when you realize that you have it. Because it's only a din hanhog, it's not a real din. You have a right to be naive like that. The only Torah only tells you how to be naive when you realize that you're in a dilemma. So that's a machloekus in Rishonim. You have to have no dahat arunis for the Baal ha'oichol, in which case if the Baal ha'oichol is a nachri, because there never was any Dita. Yet. Because I don't know that arunis. It's irrelevant to him. He can read all the traces of. So when I'm going to buy it, it's not that arunis to me. So before I buy it, it's not buckled, only at my purchasing of it. Then it becomes buckled. So that's mamish and act of any of us who have to. But not like that, so there's nothing to discuss. So you're working on the assumption, like the Rav HaTosfos, that if you have Yudias HaTarulis by anybody, it's sufficient to apply Bittu Barai. It doesn't have to be that Yudias HaTarulis by the Bailim of the earth. Even if the Bailim doesn't know, and you talk to each of those people, I'm not allowed to take this food anyway to eat it. So what is it we discuss? All questions are relevant? No, it is relevant. If I'll buy it, it's going to be for sale. If they'll invite you to eat by him, if I'll buy it, so then it will be relevant to me. So it's already conceded, no doubt I rule this now, in Shah Tatarul, even before the time that I buy it, before the time that he gives me, he invites me to eat by. That's how we assume. So it already is his bakil. So if I was already using his bakil, is there what to discuss that purchasing it should be an act of any lot of mission of hostility? It's still a machloekus hafayim. Still a big dispute in hafayim. A lot of hafayim hold that you're not supposed to buy it if you can get another product that's approximately the same price. That not that they sell wheaties that has an Eastern mixed into it. The white wheaties is Cheerios. No, it means that there's a kosher wheaties that has no trace ingredients. And then there's another wheaties that has a trace ingredient but really buckled the sheep. So if the kosher wheaties has the hasgacha of whatever, the yoker or whatever, and he charges $5 more for a box of wheaties, so that's called a yepshim. Hotness can say, I have to pay $5 more for every bowl of wheaties. So that's called no grade. But let's say the other box of Wheaties has a hasgacha, it costs a penny more. Every bowl costs a penny more. It costs the same. So it's approximately the same. But then there's an Achleikus and Achleikus. So there's a whole group of Achleikus and that there's still an Ikarim of Achleikus and Achleikus. To buy it, is any Achleikus. Why you could buy the Achleikus? But if you hold it already called Meir Achleikus, it already wasn't his bottle, why is there an Achleikus? So the answer is, because Reim of Achleikus and Achleikus doesn't only mean that you're not permitted to do the act of equal. Even if the Bikul already was foul, not only you're not permitted to cause Bikul to take effect, even if the Bikul already took effect, to rely on Bikul is also in the Rav HaTosfos. Take for example like this. Let's say I'm going to eat Fleishig dinner tonight, and I have my dog. I have a tattoo of the dog, the dog is going to have Fleishig. So we prepared two pots of food. We prepared kosher, blood kosher food. So we prepared Fleishig food for meat. Fleishig food for the tupa, the same. Okay. And then a little chazashmat falls into one of them and it's bottled with shisha. And I know which one. So would you say, I can eat that and I can give the kosher food to the dog? I don't have to be mahara to eat the kosher food and give the dog the one that the church is selling? But we say, no. That's the same about the little hatkila. How should taklana be? So taklana be hatkila. Why should you eat? You cook two pots anyway. You're going to give the dog straight to the guy cooks kosher food for his dog also. There is a little trace that he didn't have to give kosher food to the dog. He could give trace food. It's mukabano. But the little trace fell into the dog food. The little trace fell into one pot. You give that to the dog. And you won't be relying on the people to work. So you say, there is such a person. I should talk to anybody. The din of Eim of Atma Nisra HaTkila not only applies in a situation where you're causing the bittul to be chal, even if the bittul already took effect, it already was chal, but you're relying on the bittul in a situation that's really unnecessary. You could have easily avoided relying on the bittul instead of me eating the pot that had the traces falling into it. Or giving the dog the pot that had no shylon, or let me eat the pot that has no shylon, let me give the dog. So the same over here, instead of me buying the Wheaties that had the bittul, let me buy the Wheaties that doesn't have the bittul. So the Gemara has the same principle regarding Dabba Shiyesh Lamatirin, that it's not Dabba. What kind of halacha is that Dabba Shiyesh Lamatirin is not Dabba? So there is a machlokes that's quoted the Arizayah between Rashi and Iran. So Rashi says, because that's also a form of Eim of Atla Nisa Lahatkhila. The Easter already became Dabba, and Easter fell into Atla already became Dabba, But if I can easily wait till after Yom Tov is over and I won't even have to rely on Bittu, or I'll bring my Mikey Shani to Yerushalayim, that's when we shall enter Chulin. So why should I eat his foot to Yerushalayim, relying on Bittu Baroi? He played it. I'll bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it all. Why do you have to rely on the Bittu Baroi if you have an easy solution to the problem? It depends how far away you live from Yerushalayim. If you live so far away, and it's going to be a Tufish, it's tough, I'll see all of our stories, then it says in the other day, then it's not called the Baruch Shem Nafir. But if it's not a Tufish, you say it. If it's an easy solution to the problem, then Rashi Shita is, that's how the Nitzit explains it. Here on the Shilpas, and Rashi Shita is, that at the Tachlana Bisha, Tachlana Behetzer, that to rely on Bisha Beroi, where it's really unnecessary, but it's not really so unnecessary, where it's really easy to avoid it. You can easily solve your problem without relying on Bisha Beroi. At the Tachlana Behetzer, Tachlana Behetzer, what do you mean Tachlana Behetzer? The misnomer, what do you mean at the Tachlana Behetzer? It's not easy, it's at the Tachlana the smicha aladin, relying on the din of bittul berai, tachlana behetz, don't use the bittul berai. And when you use bittul berai unnecessarily, we could have easily avoided it. That's also a violation of eino lachmi shelo chatzila. That's how Rashi learns the gemara. Ran does not learn like that. There's a famous Ran, it's made famous by the Yeridaya. The Chaz on the side of the Yeridaya, close to the Shimon of Rabbi Shmuel Nachman. So the Ran in Midorim doctrine, Min Beishan and Alves, has a whole different interpretation. It says that Min Demeanor, Leid Bottom is a dinner, Nuskan Lechalade. It's not true. Only the Buddha has Min Demeanor, Leid Bottom. The Chachamim holds Min Demeanor is Bottom. So he says, no, that Gemara in Nachas and in different places learns out the Gemara of Shmei, Mikra Echadosh, and Abdul Abon, both learned out the dinner from the same place. It says that the Tangalan and Kippur has to do the hazards and the dam hakor, shachar parachat the tashalot, and the soil Hashem. He takes the shneitzirim, one of the soil hazards, one of the soil Hashem. He takes the dam parachat the tashalot, and he does hazards with nine of the moon, and then in front of the parochet, and then on top of the dalet tannin from Yisbeach, and Yisbeach Hapnini. Then he takes the dam hasoyer again, he does with nine of the moon, and then he has to mix the dam. It's machlokes is talking about what point he mixes it. Before the dalas, ma'arav and the kronos, ma'arav and the kronos, says you have to be ma'arav the dam apol, lotach the dam apol, dam asoyer. Before he does the tannis on his death, before he does the sheva aporish on his death, but there is clearly in kronos, it says in Apir Mois, there's one point where he has to mix the dam together. And the kronos says, lotach the dam apol, and the dam asoyer. So the gemara asks that kasha, how can that be? Once you mix the two together, so the dam hapor is merubah the dam asoyer, under normal conditions, could be that the dam asoyer is more than dam apol. But either means one is going to be more, it's not going to be 50-50, one is going to be more than the other. So usually the dam apor is the biggest, much fatter animal, so you're telling there's going to be more dam apor in the kli, then there's going to be dam apor in the other kli. So when you mix the two together, so the dam apor should al-tizim disappear. Shum is here, it's there, but al-tizim it should become bottle beret. Bottle beret is not only a din, the traces becomes, loses the identity of traces, and the tumor disappears. Whenever you have a meal, that's bottle beret, so whatever properties the meal has, they lose. The meal disappears, so the Dhamma source ceases to exist. So when you go to Dhamma Mitech, you no longer have Dhamma Par Dhamma source. So what do you have to bother to mix it together? Just take the Dhamma Par and you go. If you mix it together, the Dhamma source is going to disappear out again. It's just going to be, the Halacha declares that all you're doing is because Dhamma Par. So what do you bother to mix it into? The Gemara says, no, it's right that it's not broken. Even if you mix it in, it's not broken. Why not? So what you do is of the opinion because in the middle of the book and the Hamas and the Kams in this part of the Yidurad La'olim things that are part of Agavi and Izeh Shem of Atom Zezer and the Eza Tam what's the reason for the Ram says the Rabbanan are saying the same as of you that in the Mina is not that why? The only time you have different Yidurad is when there's a conflict right? It's rotate to Rabbanan because when there's a conflict and it clears then the Roy bumps off the Mewit and swallows it up and it takes over Kibis Muhammad takes over but if there's no Muhammad if there's peaceful coexistence. So then if it's min demino, if they slide in together, there's no conflict over here, so then there's no difference at all. So Rav Yehuda says that min demino la gotel is determined. They both say the same principle, but they argue about the application of the principle. The detail, the major detail, but it's only a detail. Rav Yehuda says that we determine min demino versus min shein demino, but it's clear. And the Chacham says, no, you go back to halacha. So whenever one is close and one is straight, it's always going to be declared as min shein demino. So whenever you have heter the heter, but then the Ran has a chiddush. Has to be has to lay bottle. That's a topic that's discussed by Rishonim and Achrayim. The whole discussion. The Malbim and the Artus Achayim and Hilchos Tikkun. has a long essay. Mom has Arisa Lotan and her and Arisa behind a long Arisa. She has a long Arisa on this. He gives you all the Mekoros and the Rishonim and the Mishnayos and the Achronim and the Tzevedis, Chuvis and others about this topic of head to the head to the bottom. It's also not exhaustive. There are more modern things. He doesn't quote them. He doesn't quote the Ramban in the first half and goes back. A lot of things he doesn't quote. So that's what the Ran holds. That head to the head to the bottom is according to the Rabbanon, that's called Mina Mina. So that's what it means, Oilim. If the both things are part of the Gabbin is death and it's not both. So the Ran says, and he thinks in his opinion that that's the basis of the din of Dalashes and Apirin, that it's led bottom with the Rabbanon. Then I tell Dalashes and Apirin is bottom, but it's only a din of the Rabbanon. Let's forget about din of the Rabbanon. A Dovish Eshem Atirin means even a trace that it's going to turn into Hesher at some later point. After you enter the Zobar, it'll turn into Hesher. When you bring it to Yerushalayim, the Rosh Hashanah will be Hesher. When you do Kodesh, it'll become Hesher. Kodesh, when it comes face up, it's going to be Hesher. Neder, if you do Mata Neder, it'll become Hesher. So since you know it's an Easter, but it's an Easter that either will definitely have a Hesher or could possibly lead up to a Hesher. So it's not absolutely Easter. And he says, that's the din that I consider this, Mindy Mina. And I tell you, he says it's really bottom, but Mindy Rabbana is considered Mindy Mina. The heads of the Ran were so convincing that it's Mindy Mina, that Dovashos Matirin is Lord Bottle, because I consider Mindy Mina. I see that because Mishnah in one place right, but we all know that Dovashos Matirin and Lord Bottle is a din that I so the din of is not the kind of case Mishnah says, not true. So the Sayyidish is a Marim, but we see in Terakazrop of all places. The more right exclusively that it's only with the Rabban. The same thing when I told you. Not to be fair, it's like, that is just my feelings only with the Rabban of Rabban. But I thought, fine, that's the head of the Rabban. But I consider Dalashesh Matirin along something like Nindumina. I consider it head to the head of the Rabban. The Gemara Nadab has a Machlokes Amoraim, Ravashi, and the other Amoraim, whether the concept of Dalashesh Matirin Loi Bottle is limited after to people, or it should also apply to Sneak of the Rabban Lukuli, the head to Sneak of the Rabban Lukuli, and the head to Rabbitu Beroz. So just like Dalashesh Matirin doesn't have that head to Rabbitu, maybe it also shouldn't have the head to of Sneak of the Rabban Lukuli. So that's enough like Rabashi holds just like doesn't have this head to doesn't have that head to. And the other Amoraim disagree, and the more side that we don't have printed in the back of our Gemara, the more side that's printed by the Machon Yerushalayim, for the manuscript, Matai Ha'oru, quote that there was a machlokes among the Balei HaTosfos whether he talks from like Ravashi or not. So the Gemara says on Dalet, Ula Ravashi Yoma. According to Ravashi, what are you going to do? Sounds like there's his opinion, but the other Ramam, but we don't hold like that. We know clearly the other Ramam don't hold like that. But the fact that the sum of the Gemara writes Ravashi Yoma sounds like that's Ravashi Shita, but Lahaloch, it's not there. So it's a question how he talks from Lahaloch. What's the issue? So if you hold like the Ran, that the heads of the devastation are turned by Butler, it's Minda Minoi, and the pastor says that certain doesn't apply to the sake of the Rabban Lekula. How should that explain why the Rabban Lekula is in the place? If you say the heads are like Rashi, that it's a violation of the name of Akhan Lekula and Chatzila, so then, if it should explain, then you can understand why Rabashi holds that it should also apply to the sake of the Rabban Lekula. Why? They're just like there's a bit of a Mavatan Ishmael Hashkila, so too the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Tzitzis that Sfeika de Rabbana Lekula is only if he fell into a situation. But Lutza Lechatzila, Sfeika de Rabbana be a Zayin, they are sure that Ran has that comment in the end of Sof and that you're not permitted to count Sfeika de Rabbana during the Nesmah. Even if you have Sfeika de Rabbana be a Rabbana, you can't say like Tzitzis. Tzitzis writes in the office, he permitted Lechatzila to count the Nesmah, so Sfeika de Rabbana Lekula. So the Ran argues, he said, how can you say that? If a person counted Ben Ashmashi, so far from, so then you say, we wouldn't require that she count again, because Sfeika de Rabban Lekula, but then go out of your way, Lechatzila to do with Ben Ashmashi. Lisa, Sfeika de Rabban Lechatzila, be a Zion, how can you allow that? So the pastor says, that's what the Ran says over there, Lechatzila, that's not like the Ran in the Torah, not the pastor. There is a way to enter it, but the pastor says that that's along the lines of Rashi, that just like he's doing a day of Akhanis and Lechatzila, and that means not only not allowed to create the Bittul, even if the Bittul is anywhere south, but you're not allowed to rely on it, you can easily avoid it. So too, also leads to Sfeika de Rabbanon Lechatzila B'Yadayim, and not only means you're not allowed to count Sfeika Lechatzila Ben Ashmashis, but even if you have a situation of something presented to you, and it really should be Mutam Itam Sfeika de Rabbanon Lechatzila, but you can easily avoid it. So then I still say, Atta Tachlana B'Yisa Tachlana B'Hatta, why rely on Sfeika de Rabbanon Lechatzila, wait till Havdolah, and then we had to gamble without any shilas. And if you eat the base straw, dropping all the yantas, that's not them, you have one yantas, you're lying on Sfeika de Rabban Lekula, that would be a violation of also eat the Sfeika de Rabban Lekula be a die. That's the question. So to see in the run, where you do the shir in the run. How come the run? And the end of the and he says, Al-Talitha, say to Rabban Lakul Vachatkhila. And that Mechor is based on Rav Ashi, based on the Hamshach HaTzid over here. And how did the run himself and the run with a completely different head to explain why Rabbi Sheikh Matur and a great Baku, he gives you a head that's a local head but only in the area of Bikul. That it's considered Lindamina, that it's Hesed, the Hesed, Lindamina. So how does that apply to the Sefer Rabban Lakul? Yeah, that's the Delta of Sakasa, that's very nice. The Rashi Shuri give all the same test. But a lot of times you have a Dinda Rabbanon that was instituted for a certain reason, but then they wanted to make it for some Mahala. So even though the reason for the Dinda Rabbanon was X, but they wanted to make all the Tikkun Rabbanon and the Rashi Tikkun, so they patterned the demon, the details, along a different line. But a lot of times the Dinda Rabbanon doesn't really cover all the cases that we wanted to cover. The reason should have covered more cases than it doesn't. And the Gzeira covers cases that there's no reason. How come you have like that? You have the rabbis were afraid of a certain worry, they had a certain consideration. Then they made a Dinda Rabbanon. And the Dinda Rabbanon, the way they made it, doesn't really correspond to the reason. Sometimes the din applies when the reason doesn't apply, and sometimes the reason the Hashash applies when the din doesn't apply. How is that? And the answer is because the Dinda Rabbanon came to Rashi, they had reasons what prompted them, what motivated them to make Dinda Rabbanon. But then they formulated the demon, they always tried, whenever possible, to formulate the demon, pattern is the demon direction. That's perhaps what the deal is over here. The other of the demon is, what's the least mistake of the Rabbana Lahatkhila be Yadam? And the demon is, the Ein Rat Lish Lahatkhila. And whenever you can easily avoid it, then I say, okay, Ein Rat Lish Lahatkhila. But at least by Dovish Eshmatir, and he said he knew that the detective was better, so he said, the reason why they want to institute it is because they don't have to listen to them. But they're going to package it differently. Now they package it for the Ram says. They package it and they call it a Mindamina. So once they call it a Mindamina, so then you have all of that. There's going to be slight enough diminish between what the Dune would have been and the way the Dune is now. I think that's what they're saying with that. That's how the Shi would say it now. Okay, what else we wanted to talk about is that maybe we'll continue to be later on Sunday. Sunday's a regular day, morning, the Friday, holiday. And I had that guy on trial a couple of years ago, he killed his wife. Killed that epilepsy drug and he killed his wife, murdered his wife, he was pregnant. So one day he didn't want to come to court. So he said, he's a religious guy, he'll pay you for everything. So he said, he killed that epilepsy drug and he got, the murder was done. But he said, you can't take him to court because he's a Jewish holiday today. He's going to come to Jewish law, he's not allowed to go. But they didn't know. But it took him an extra hour. He came to court late for an hour. They find out that it was a traitor that day. So it's better to risk doing it to be him. So, okay, so we know what we're going to do about Kishin and about the mayor and about Messiah. We know that. No, I got to run.
Vayishrosha tu habonim b'kirbo. That they were fighting with each other. Rashi says loshen mitzvah. Either loshen mitzvah or loshen mitzvah. Rashi says another shot loshen mitzvah, that each one was running out. That when she cast fire based on medrash, Yankis or Pish Chetoiro, Shoshen the Aver, Yankis wrote to Mepharche Slotzer. When she cast fire based on Vodizor, Pish Chetoiro, Esau was Mepharche Slotzer. Another shot is Loshen Vitzitzo. The throat system there, and then they were fighting with each other. So the Rav Des Akasha, the Gemara tells us in Nida that the Malach is teaching the baby Kolotera Kula, and he's inside the mother's body. So why did Yankee want to run out to the Beis HaMedrash to learn by Shem B'Yedu? What's going on? Malach is teaching him. So the Rav says the Teretz, even if you have a Rebbe who's a Malach, but if you have a Chavrus who's an Esau, it's better to run away. So keep in mind, try to get a Rebbe who's a Malach and try to get a Chavrus who's not an Esau. Rivka didn't understand what was happening, so she Vatelach Lidush Es Hashem, so Rashi quotes the matter, she asked Shem V'Yegah, what's going on? So they told the Ben Avuah, Shmei Goyim Mevitzich, Shem V'Yom Miyachi, for Eidu Liyom Liyom Yamot, for Rav Yavod Tzoir. The Rav, who was the Tzoir? Esau was the Rav, and Yaakov was the Tzor. So obviously she was told Ben Avuah, Shem V'Yegah got the Avuah, she was told, Rashi said, Beis Midrash Hashol Shem, okay, Shem. She was told by Shem ben Avuah that Rav Yavod Tzoir. In the end of the Sedra, there's the question as to who should get the brachas. So the Yitzchak should give the brachas to Yaakov or to Esau. The Yitzchak planned to give the brachas to Esau. He liked him. He liked Esau better. The pasuk says that Rivka liked the favor of Yaakov. And Yitzchak was blind and he didn't see what was going on, so he didn't have a full perspective of the whole story, so he favored Esau, besides a bit. Yitzchak had this as Yaakov, so Yitzchak planned to give the brachas to Esau. But Yitzchak already knew the Nevuah from the Navi, from the time that they were pregnant. That was a long time before. She already knew the Nevuah that Rav Yavod Tzoir, everything was going to go to the Yaakov. One of the brachas was, so Yaakov didn't, Yitzchak didn't know that he's supposed to give that bracha to, that was what she was told in the bush, and he didn't know that. Why didn't he know that? They didn't speak to each other. Yitzchak and Rivka didn't communicate, so that's what the Netziv says. There's a whole description of the marriage that was different from Avraham and Sarah. That from the first time that they met each other, she got frightened by people in the Alagomol, and she covered her face, and she never saw her, and they never spoke to each other. A whole psychological interpretation. But the Ran has in the Drasha Saran, the second Drasha, is on Parshas Tova. So he gives a different comment. He says at the end of the Drasha, he quotes the Gemara in the first Perek in Yuma, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamor. Why does it say Lamor? What does the word lema mean? Lema li Yisrael. We usually translate lema means saying, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying. Saying means like we put a colon and a quotation mark. So the Gemara says no, that the word lema means lema li Yisrael. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given Moshe Rabbeinu permission or commanded him to tell it over to Bnei Yisrael, he would have been prohibited to tell it over to anybody else. But when a Navi gets in a Vuah, or when anybody hears any information, someone tells me that he doesn't have Shalom Bayis, or that his children are fighting, that he's not making Parnas, he's making Parnas and cheating the government, whatever information he tells me, so it's assumed that everything is said in confidence. Unless he says to me, I don't care, you can go print it in the newspaper, you can tell anybody you want. But Kozman that he doesn't say that, or Kozman that he doesn't make it clear that he doesn't care if everybody knows, so it's understood that I'm not supposed to tell it to anybody. And even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells him the Lord goes, Sitzes and Tzuah and Shreifah and Mezuzah and Kriyashma and everything, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been required to keep it a secret. The pasuk speaks of Kihim Gilo Sodo Leneviyo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed secrets to the prophet. So the pasuk shadavwa is that it's a secret before he reveals it, then when he tells it to the Navi, then it's no longer a secret. Because the Navi knows, he can tell everybody. So the Mepharshim is saying, no, even after he tells the Navi, it's still a secret, unless he gives the Navi authorization to tell it to everybody else, unless he either commands them or he permits them to tell everybody else. So apparently here, Rivka had a shaila. She asked the Navi, what's going on? Like, she wrote Sabana Mikir, but how come Al Piska Bidizor and Al Piska Tayyra Shoshim behavior, how come it's a contradiction? How come it's a contradiction? So she was told that Shnei Goyim Mivit Nachsu Beit. Rabbi Avot Soer, but she was never given permission to tell this over to anybody else. So that's why she never told it to her husband. So Yaakov never knew. The Sakh is still a sod. In Gila, sod a little deal, and it was still a sod, even after she heard it was a sod. So Yitzchok didn't know. He thought that the proper thing is to give the bracha to Esau. He was the oldest of the two. He was the older of the two. Usually you give the Korah, so the Korah doesn't mean the Tishnayim. The Gemara said the Seirish, or the Dino. The Gemara Rashi says the din of Tishnayim. No, the Gemara says, yeah, Imam Korah says that the din of Tishnayim doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. The Ran, if it's writes it like a Chiddush over here, that what was Yaakov buying the Korah from Esau? What did he buy? What, the Tishnayim? Not the Mashman. He doesn't think that the din of Tishnayim applied to Bnei Noach. Per the Mashman Teirish, that's the Teirish Gemara like that. There's no din of Tishnayim by Bnei Noach. Per the Mashman Teirish, there's no din of Tishnayim. It's only a din different term in Eschat Shalach only by Jews, not by Noach. He wasn't buying that. So what was he buying? What was the Bchor? The Bchor man. So Rashi says the Avodah was the Bchor. Or the Ran Azan. Why was Taka the Avodah the Bchor? What is that all about? You mean the Avodah is Tzula if it's done by the younger brother? If the Avodah is Tzula, so how can I sell it? The Tzayin will sell me his Kuhuna. So I become a Tzayin and I can do Avodah and I can Duchan and I can get the first Tzayin and can sell it. Well, that's within the first Meskov here, so the Maharami Prak says, no, the Avodah was supposed to be done with Korah, but if a non-Korah was being a Korban, it would also be kosher. It's just that he had this chush to do the Avodah as opposed to the other. So if he sells his chush, he can give it to someone else. Why does that happen so? So usually, the Ran writes, usually the parents spend more time with the first child. Here they would grab a twin. Here the Akhenaisha was twins. But still, the parents usually see normally. The parents usually spend more time with the first child. And have two children, said their division is their attention is divided between the two of them. You have more than two, is about it divided. But when you only have one baby, so you spend all of your time with that one baby. So that's why usually all of the hashkafas of the parents and everything is poured into the first child. So that's why it was. That's why Yitzchak was assuming that Mistami should give the bracha to Esau. He was the older of the two. Like normally everybody else used to transmit more of the values of the parents to the firstborn child. And Rivka knew that it wasn't so. She had already heard the Nezuah before they were born, but Rabbi Avitur. So that's why she finagled to speak to it that that Yaakov should get the bracha. But you have to finagle, what is it? It should be Lomal of Lamar. She already heard the Nezuah. Yitzchok didn't have the Nezuah. Apparently she was greater than him, the Nezuah. Astora was greater than Avram and Nezuah. In a certain sense, she was greater here. She knew the secret that he didn't know. She wasn't allowed to tell. So what's the difference? What Yitzchok is going to do? Give the bracha from Tzareit on Yaakov to Esau. What's the difference? What does she have to finagle that the bracha should be given to Yaakov? If she heard the nevuah that Yaakov is this, so Yaarav Yaarav, what does he need the haskama of Yitzchok for? So the Ran talks about that also. So he quotes from the Ramban on Chumash. Ramban has a concept of poel dimyon. Ramban speaks about a few places in Chumash, and the Nesivus in his Sefer Chumash picks up this Ramban and he interprets a lot of psukim in Tanakh based on this notion of poel dimyon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells things to the Nazim what's in store in the future. So if he says it's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. But sometimes the prediction doesn't always come true. So how can it be? So the Baruch Hu knows the Asido, so how can it be he tells the Nazim what's going to happen and doesn't happen? So the Rambam in Hilchot Yisrael HaTorah, when he speaks about Nevuah, quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos that there's a distinction between the Nevuah L'Tayvah and the Nevuah L'Ra. The Nevuah L'Tayvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes his mind. When the Nevuah L'Ra, so it's understood that the Nevuah L'Ra is only on the condition that they won't be Chayzah B'Tshuva. So if the people will be Chayzah B'Tshuva, then the punishment will not come. Like Arboim Yom V'Nim V'Nei Nepochet. So it was changed later on because it was understood that it's only if they don't do Tshuva. But even in the Nevuah L'Tayvah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change, so the Rambam explains why, because otherwise how can you test out a Navi? You can never tell whether someone is a Navi, Avitan, or a Shekhet. There's no Chumash. If the person tells a Nevuah, and it doesn't come true, so then you know that he's a Navi, a Shekhet. So what kind of Nevuah did he say? If he says Nevuah L'Rah, so it didn't come true. Yonah's Nevuah didn't come true. So Yonah was a Navi, a Shekhet. No, that's why he didn't want to go to deliver the Nevuah, because he felt that it wasn't going to come true, they're going to be Chayzah B'Tshuva. So So how do you test out a Navi if it doesn't come true? He's assumed to be a Navi Hashem. It means that he says in the Nevuah L'Toivo. Then it doesn't come true, then we assume it's a Navi Hashem. So the Rambam is mashma that that's only if the Nevuah is meant to be delivered to someone else. But let's say there's a private Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Rishka, Rabbi Avotzer, she knows that, she's not supposed to tell it to anybody else. Not supposed to be mefarshim, but then it could be that would also not necessarily be fulfilled. It could be that something would change that in the future as well. The Rambam only says when the nevuah was transmitted to others, then it has to be fulfilled. Otherwise, there's no way to test the Navi. That's what Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan writes in the Hakdama to his Tzuvish. Meaning in Europe, always was when someone wrote a Sefer Halacha, because they wrote a Hakdama of Drush. So he writes Agarati, he writes Droshin, has nothing to do with the Tzuvos. Yeah, I think it's in the Tzuvos. He hasn't done that Yaakov Avinu was afraid when Esau came to him. Yaakov was afraid, Shemo Yigrom Hachay. Beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, he was really afraid. Shemi Yigrom Hachet, maybe even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him, he was going to protect him and so on. When he had the dream, he was going to protect him and so on. He was still afraid. Shemi Yigrom Hachet. How can it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Nevuah L'Toivo, so it's never overturned? Only the Nevuah L'Ro can be overturned. The Nevuah L'Toivo is never overturned. So this Gohanim says no. The Rambam only says in Hilchos Yisera Torah that the Nevuah L'Toivo is never overturned if the Nevuah is delivered to someone else, because otherwise, how will you test the Navi? But here it was just told to Yaakov privately. So that's the question over here. Here the Nevuah was told to Shem to tell over to Rivka. It wasn't given to Rivka directly, but it was given to Rivka also just privately. The Ran says it wasn't Madav Hashem Moshe Leimel Acher. It wasn't Leimel Acher. That's why she wasn't permitted to tell it to her husband Yitzchak. And she kept it. She kept that secret. They say women can't keep secrets. She kept the secret. She didn't even tell her own husband because she was prohibited to tell the Nevuah to anybody else. So that's the Ran is mistopic about this. He's not exactly sure what the status of this Nevuah is over here. But he quotes this Ramban that there's such a concept of a poel dimyon. If the Navi gets a Nevuah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do something in connection with the Nevuah. For example, what's it? This and the Nevi. What do they do? In Yirmiyah. There's different pulvers, yeah. But the Ramban quotes from Yirmiyah and from the Megillah, right. Different things that they were told to do. So this was in order to be mechazik the Nevuah. So the Ran he doesn't fully understand what this Pearl Dimion is all about. Why should it be so, and why do you have to have it? Why shouldn't the Nevuah be Mekuyim anyway? But he says that's what the Ramban says, there is such an Indian, that if the Nevuah is given with some pantomime, with some, how do you say, with some acting out, b'shas, the delivering of the Nevuah, so then it's a more serious Nevuah, whatever that means, less serious, more serious Nevuah, then it's going to be Al-Kopan, it will certainly be fulfilled. So he speaks about the two poel dimyons in this bed. He speaks that when Yaakov was born, a baby doesn't have the ability to grab hold until a couple of months old. A baby, when it's coming out, can't close his fist. So this is the next. Yodor Chesed Zakei Beisel. Radak has about this. Radak on Chumash and Radak on Novi has about this. This net min hashemayim that he was holding on. So what was the significance of this? So the Ran says in the Drush Beis, that this is a poel dimyon to show that the Malchios will be switching later. That the Novi, in Sefer Daniel, he has on two nights he has dreams about the Dalet Malchios. So on one night he had a dream about three Malchuyais, and the next night he had a dream about the fourth Malchus. So the first night he had a dream about the three Malchuyais, and he envisioned them as different wild animals, dangerous animals. So first he had the first dream was about the lion, and then about the bear, and then about the nomer, about the leopard, and then the next night he had a dream about a wild animal that's just awesome and frightening and terrible, and the pasuk doesn't say exactly what animal was it. So the Gemara says it was a chazir. What's so awesome and terrible about a chazir? So the Gemara talks in the Medrash, Rashi talks about that. What's the significance of that? The others are really scary. So what's the significance of that? The Dalad Malchuyah. So the Midrashim say that each Malchus took away from the previous Malchus. So the first Malchus, Aryeh and Doiv and Nomer, versus Malchus Bavel, took away the Malchus from Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael at the time of spoken by Yisrishon. And then the second Malchus, Paras, took away from Bavel, and then Malchus Yavon, different versions, which Malchus was the second one, the third, and then Malchus Yavon took away from Malchus Paras, and then... And that wasn't bad. Those three Malchus, they were terrible, but it wasn't so bad. But all three were one dream. And then the next time he had one dream about one Malchus, the Chazir, that was the worst of the worst and scary and everything. Gemara says that's Malchus Roimi. The Romans took away the Malchus from Yavon, and that Malchus is going to be a long Shibud. Under the Shibud Roimi, that's going to be a long Shibud. Until the end, we're going to go back to where we started from, Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael is going to take away the Malchus in Eretz Yisrael away from the Romians. Away from the Romians. So that's supposed to be the Poel Dimyon, that's supposed to be the marshal from Yodah Achezes Bakei Beisah. That the Eikev means the bottom, the end of everything. But the person, when he stands up, so the head is on top and the feet, the heels are on the bottom. Yodah Achezes Bakei Beisah is supposed to be representative of the fact that in the end of history, in the end of the years, Malchus Hayomim, Bnei Yisrael will get back to Malchus and Eretz Yisrael from the Malchus Edom. We'll go back to where we started from. So that's the one Poel Dimyon that he speaks about in this study. Then he speaks about the other Poel Dimyon, is the brachas that Yitzchak is giving to Yaakov. Who needs his brachas? She already heard the nevuah of Rabbi Avot Zoyer. It was already Oiz Kipaskin before they were born, Rabbi Avot Zoyer. So who needs over here? So he says, yeah, it was just told the nevuah, but there was no Poel Dimyon. So the machazik is to make it that it should be Al-Kokonim, that it should be stronger. That's the Lashon HaRamban HaChumish that the Ran quotes. Whenever you have a Poel Dimyon, it's Al-Kokonim. Whenever you have a Shu or a Briz, it's our kofanim. It means it's not Salah Tanai. It's absolutely, definitely going to be some. So that was the significance of Yitzchak giving the bracha to Yaakov. Yitzchak made a mistake. He thought it was Esav. He wasn't sure whether it's Yaakov or Esav. He didn't know exactly what was going on. But it doesn't matter whether he knew or he didn't know. It was already Oiz Kipaskin before they were born, Rabbi Avitzur. This is only for the sake of making the nevuah that she got before they were born into a Poel Dimyon, so it's going to be Al-Kol Panim, that it's certainly going to be something. Why did the Gemara, all the Midrashim, why do they always assume that the fourth Malchus is a Chazir? It never says in the Zeril what it was. Rashi quotes, Yechazimena Chazir Miyoran, Zu Esam, Zu Edom, Malchus Edom are supposed to be the descendants from Esam. What's the significance of the Chazir? So Rashi says, that the Chazir sticks out his feet to show that he's really kosher. Because the Pasuk says in Chumash, in order for an animal to be kosher, you have to have two simonim. You have to have ma'alagir and ma'akus parsis. So if an animal only has one without the other, A without B, a B without A, so it's not kosher. So the Torah gives the example. So the Chazir is singled out by the Chumash as an animal that has ma'akus parsis, but it doesn't have ma'alagir, so it's straight. So the Chazir sticks out his feet to claim, you see, I have ma'akus parsis, I'm kosher, and it's really a fraud. He's not kosher because he doesn't have Balagir in Edu. So too, Esav puts on this frum and acts that he makes believe. Sayyid Befiv, he's fooling the father into believing that he's frum. And in later generations, these are not really Midrashim, this is already from the Tkufas. Later Midrashim from the Rishonim, this is not Midrashim from the Amoraim. Later generations, it was assumed that Esav and Edom represents the Christian religion, the way they claim now that they're the real Jewish religion. They say that they're mamish twin sister religions, like they were twin brothers. Yankim and Esav were twin brothers. They say they're the Judeo-Christian tradition. You never hear of a Judeo-Islamic tradition. Islam has a lot, it's also based on the Tanakh, but they have a little different version that Akedah was Yishmael instead of Yitzchak. Everything the same, but a little different with a twist. You don't talk about the Judeo-Hindu, there is no Judeo-Hindu. So what's that? It's a Judeo-Christian tradition because they were mamish twin brothers. And by Zohar Talbon of the Kirbo, he felt that he's a Bchor. He also carries on the tradition of the father. Why only Yankov? Esav also carries on. So the Midrashim speak of this, the later Midrashim from the Rishonim, from the Tkufas of Rishonim, they present it as if the Christians are the representatives of those who carry over the tradition of the Mesa, the Yechasmen, that they say that they're the real Jews. That's what they talk to say. That's true. They say that when Yoshke came on the scene and the Jews didn't accept him as God, so the Jews lost their right to Eretz Yisrael, and they lost their right to be considered Jews, and we are no longer Jews, and they're the real Jews. The real Jews are the ones who accepted God's son, the ones who accepted Osir Huish as God. And the Jews were damned to go into Golus when they rejected Osir Huish, and will never come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's a yisoid in their religion. We have 13 Ikori Amunah, and they have that. Every religion has their Ikori. So that's one of the big yisoidis Amunah by the Christians. They used to hold the Jews responsible for the killing of Yoshke until about 25 years ago. What does it mean? That's ridiculous. All of us, we are all responsible because the Jews killed Yoshke years ago. So obviously, they say the fairies what it means. When you say that you killed Yoshke, it means that you don't believe in Yoshke. It doesn't mean you physically killed a person. It doesn't matter who killed him. If the Romans killed him, the Jews still killed him in the sense that, we still don't believe in Osir Huish. There's a book by Nietzsche that starts off with the guy ringing the bell to announce that there's a funeral. So he says that he's announcing who died. So he says that G is dead. What do you mean G is dead? That means that nobody believes in the Rebbeinu Shlom. So when you say that he's dead, it means you don't believe. When you say that we killed Yoshke, it means that we don't believe in Yoshke. And then about, when was it, 25, 30 years ago, the Catholic Church started pouring in millions and millions and millions of dollars to convert all the Jews. So then they said at that time, we are now relieving the Jews of the guilt of killing Yoshke, because we're going to see to it, that's what it means, we're going to see to it that the Jews will accept Yoshke. That's what it means. That's what they said to Pharisees at that time. It wasn't a secret. They said, that's what it means. They went together when they had the big conference. They had a big conference with all the bishops, all the galochim, and they said they're deciding from now on that the Jews are relieved for killing Yoshke. They said, Mamish Tekhid Dibor, I'm going to start spending billions of dollars, whatever, to see to it that they have more missionaries in Eretz Yisrael than they ever had before, and then America also had missionaries to try to get all the Jews to convert by the year 2000, by the second coming. All Yechayenim Yomayim, El Shemilach Yom Esmo, 1,000 years is one day, and Yoshka is going to come back after 2 days, it means after 2,000 years, the whole Chagad, the whole story. And they write about it in their newspapers. If you go to Fordham University, the students who go to Fordham University tell me in the school newspaper, they keep on writing about it, by the year 2000, we've got to see to it that we convert all the Jews, because Yoshka is going to come again. The whole story. That's part of their religion. That's why the Catholic Church is always opposed, was always opposed before when they were planning, when the Zionists were planning to establish a state, the Catholics were always opposed to the establishment of the Jewish state. But by definition, that's their religion. How can you frig up their religion? And then when they established the state, the Vatican didn't want to recognize it. And then they had no Breiris, so all the nations recognized Medina Yisrael, so they got stuck. So the whole religion was upgefricked, so they said, yeah, but the Jews never got back to Makom HaMikdash. And then after 1967, when they got back Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash, Mamash upgefricked, so they said, it's not fair, the Jews should give it back, and they keep on tumbling now. They should internationalize Jerusalem. The United States also, when they have a real frum Christian president, so he doesn't want to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He feels they should make it an international city. Why? Because this is against the religion. They say it in their religion. That the Jews will never return back to Eretz Yisrael because they're not Jews. They're the real Jews. So that's why in the later Midrashim from the Tkufas HaRishonim, so they always describe the, they always use the Malchus HaRaviyas. That's Daniel doesn't give any, he just says that it's a scary animal. He doesn't say what it looks like. So the Midrashim all say that it's a Chazir. And Rashi Achomish quotes the Midrashim, that's why it's a Chazir, because he makes believe that he's kosher, and he's not, makes believe that he's a Jew, and he's not really a Jew. He's trying to perpetrate this fraud. That's why they always attack, that's why they always attach this onto the Christians.
Where we see the parts that rip against the
No, the Ran says the etzim giving of the bracha, that was the poel dinya. The fact that Yitzchak gave the bracha to, she wanted to make it into a poel dinya.
She had before the bracha was given.
She already knew from before that she had a nevuah, and she saw that Yitzchak didn't know about that nevuah. So he says she wanted to convert it into a nevuah, she yesh ba poel dinya. How did she know she had the right to do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So she felt she's not allowed to tell him, she has to keep it a secret. But this she had, I don't know. It's unclear. I don't know.
would a Kola have any power to overturn the Bracha? Because Yaakov is afraid that Yitzchak will kill
Kola. Could be. The Maharal and others discuss why all the Midrashim speak about the Dalit Shibudim and the Dalit Malchuyas. Why don't they ever speak about Malchus Yishmael? The Jews were under the Arabs for a long time, under the Malchus for a long time, in different countries of the world. Eretz Yisrael, different countries. So how come we never speak of a Shibud under Malchus Yishmael? So they give different explanations. Some say that Yishmael and Poros is the same thing. The Hemshech are the same government, and others give different. So the Maharal Mikrag has in a few different places the same claim. Some places he writes also like that, that Yishmael is the same as Poros. The count is the same. In other places he writes it differently. That this is the question, can there ever be peaceful coexistence with the Arabs? A big debate in Eretz Yisrael. So he says yes. He says there's no sphere between the Muslims and the Jews, Yishmael and the Jews. The sphere is between the Christians and the Jews. Yishmael originally gave Yitzchak a lot of trouble and had to kick him out of the house with his mother, with Hagar. And there was trouble, Torah through it. But then Lebesov says, when Avram died, he ran in the end of Chayisar, but Yitzchak was so Yitzchak and Yishmael Bonam. So Rashi quotes in Medrash that he did tshuva. He said, Rabbi Yishmael Leimer, the fact that he gave the name Yishmael shows that we assume that he really did tshuva. Otherwise, the Gemara says in Yom Alayim, Ashkenu Vishmai, you're not allowed to give a name Rishon Yerkavi, you're not allowed to give a name after Avraham. So, in the end of time, Yishmael did tshuva and he lived, there was peaceful coexistence with Yitzchak. But Esav, that's what she was told, that they're going to turn into two Shnei Goyim Vitznech, two completely different nations. Well, Leom Leom Yemot, so the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah, that either this nation will be powerful or the other nation will be powerful, they can never have peaceful coexistence. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel, Imola Hacharova. That's one of the words in Tanakh that has four kamotim in a row. How many words are there? Harachoma, Haramasa, Hacharova, Hachlamua. You have to ask, how many words in Tanakh have four kamotim? Probably more. Anyway, so the pasuk says, Imola Hacharova. It can't be that Edom and Yisrael will both be successful at the same time. They can't live in peace and harmony. Either the Jews are on top and the Goyim are on the bottom, or the Christians are on top and the Jews are on the bottom. With Yishmael we can. So shall Yishmael have lost his children. So we'll live in peace with the Arabs, with the Muslim Arabs. But with the Christian Arabs, that's what the tradition was, that it can't be. There's always going to be trouble. How did the Tanoim know all this? It has to be. It always has to be like that. It must have had a tradition like that. Iran in the Drasha talks about this also a little bit. He points out the Pasuk in the end of Vayishlah, I think. Elam Laham Shamalchu B'yadim L'fnei Malach Melech L'fnei Yisrael. What does that mean? That after Malach Malach of Bnei Yisrael, it wouldn't be possible to have Malach and B'yadon. It can't be. Elam Malach Shemalchu, this name Malach Malach of Bnei Yisrael. Before the Jews had kings, then Adam had a king. When the Jews have kings, Adam can have a king. And it says in Sefer Shmuel that when David became a Malach, so he forced the Edomians to give up their kingdom, and he had a Nitzav. He had a governor in Edom. Nitzav Malach, the Eretz Edom. So there was someone else governing, he wasn't a Malach. For many, many years, till the end of the Malchus Beis David, way all the way towards the end of the period of the Malachim, then they revolted against him. When the Jewish Malchus Beis David was weakened, then it says that Edom revolted and they no longer had a Nitzav, they had a real Melech. So the Ran says that it's from this pasuk in the end of Vayishlach and to the Pesukim in Shmuel that the Chachamim saw the Beirish that this is the Pshat. That there'll never be peaceful coexistence with the Christians, with Edom. The later Rishonim assumed that Adam represents the Christian. It's always going to be a skew.
Rashi has a comment on the pasuk that when Yitzchak there was another roar. So Yitzchok always followed in his father's traditions. He was going to go down to, he was on his way to Mitzrayim. But his brother told him, no, I'll tear it in Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Shalai B'dayt on the Redis in Mitzrayim, Shalai B'dayt on the Redis in Mitzrayim, he's going to do just like his father. He did everything. He followed everything, the tradition of his father. That's how the Zoya says, and Parashas told us. He says, he dug the wells, and he gave the wells the exact same name. He says, I'm Shemus, Kashem, Shalai Shavram. The Yitzchok is the Iker of Masorah, that he followed all the Masorahs of Abraham Avinu. So he's going to do this Masorah also, a Masorah from Tatan, that when there's a Rav, you go down to Mitzvah. But someone said, no, you're an oil of me, you're not permitted to go. So Shchoin Ba'aret Azor, you stay in Gror. Apparently Gror is still Eretz Yisrael. But Yeshiv Yitzchok Bira, still part of Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, it says, Vayisru Yitzchok Ba'aret Ahi Bintzah Vashana Ahi Meya Shoran Ba'irachei Vashem. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Vashana Ahi Ba'aret Ahi. Hashanah Ha'i was a miserable year. It was a Shnat HaRov. And Ba'aretz Ahi wasn't really Eretz Yisrael. It was only Eretz Plishim. It was only the Gaza Strip. What do you mean it was only Ba'aretz Ahi? It's also Eretz Yisrael. It would be Chushlot. He wouldn't be allowed to go there to Eretz Plishim either. That's the Rishayim saying. Apparently it's a Psaloa Madrega of Tusha Sor. Somehow it's a lower Madrega. Doesn't have the same level of Dusha Sa'aret, or the same level of Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael as the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it says, despite the fact that it was Bashana Ahi was the Shnas Ravon, and Baret Ahi wasn't fully Eretz Yisrael, it was only Eretz Plish, and still he got by Baruch Hei Hashem, and he had Me'er Shon, he had 100 times more than it should have grown. He had a tremendous growth. The lower level of Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. Still Eretz Yisrael, but a lower level. Same concept. Only a few cities in Eretz Yisrael. You say because we bought it. The Ramban says only a few places in Eretz Yisrael had that the Hashivas of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Avraham Avinu. Hebron and a couple of other places, because he lived in Be'er Sheva also for a while. Special place. Different traditions when the brachas were given to Yaakov. Rashi quotes one tradition that it was on Pesach, because when Rivka told Yaakov, Lechna latam kachim mishnam shnei gidoye yizim tovim, the Rashi quotes the Medrash, one is to give you Krav and one is for the Karban Pesach. Another version of the Medrash says one is Karban Pesach, one is Karban Chagigah. So that tradition has it that it was Erev Pesach in the afternoon, Leil Pesach, Erev Pesach. The other tradition has it that it was Rosh Hashanah. That it was Rosh Hashanah. That's why it says that there's a minhag to eat tapuchim, an apple dipped in honey, at Rosh Hashanah. So the Vilna Gaon says, because when Yaakov came into the father, and he smelled his begotten, and he said, "Re'efanik re'echa sader sheberach Hashem." What do you mean, "Re'efanik re'echa sader"? He was wearing the smelly begotten. It must have smelled awful. So what was so gevaldig about it? So Rashi says, "Nichnas le'ima tamga." The re'ech Gan Eden came in with him. And it smelled like chakal tapuchim. Chakal tapuchim. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says, that because there was a reach of chakal tapuchim on Rosh Hashanah, they got the brachas. That's what the meaning today is, to eat apples on Rosh Hashanah. That's the question. Chakal tapuchim means apples. Apples don't really have any smell. So it says chakal tapuchim means estrogen. Citrus fruit. Citrus fruit have a smell. Tachas ha-tapuch ha-raticho. Especially in Avri Pesachim quotes in the Garden that you have to mix into the charois into all of the different fruits that Bnei Yisrael are compared to in say the Shir HaShirim. So one of the various fruits is tapuchim. The tapuach means citrus fruit. That's the famous in the Gemara. That's not only Tosis. The Gemara says that tzarek le-kuhuya, that you have to have a sharp flavor to the charois because you have to put in tapuach. Tachas ha-tapuch ha-raticho. The sheet that is not an apple, apple doesn't have any sharpness to it. Obviously it's a citrus fruit that has a sharp flavor to the juice. Anyway, different traditions when it was, whether it's Pesach or it's Rosh Hashanah. The Balatanya, in one place in the Sefer, discusses a Zohar in the Pasuk when Yitzchak Avinu requests of Esav that he should go hunting and prepare a meal and put me in a good mood, and then I'll give you the bracha. A person has to be in a good mood if you want him to give a bracha. That's what the Kahanim don't duchen all year long, only on Yom Tov, they're in a good mood. All year long they're working for a living, so they're not the simcha. On Yom Tov they're the simcha, they're relaxed. So that's what he wanted to be in a good mood, so he said, prepare me a delicious meal. Vatevi matanim kasher ahavti, vahavili viyochelo, vavuta v'rechanav shibetera momo. So why did he say matanim, vatevi matanim? So the Tanya quotes from the Zohar that when a person eats, he doesn't just eat one thing. Sometimes they do. My kids can sit and eat one bag of potato chips and that's all. Nothing before, nothing after. It's one course meal. Or one bag of popcorn, whatever. Some people do that. But older people, I guess, like Yang Gavino and Yitzchak is an old man, so older people like to have a meal with many courses. Matamim, they like to have dessert at the end and something at the beginning, and they like to have different courses. Matamim, many different matamim. So that's what the Zohar comments on this, that just like Yitzchak requested matamim, so too this is the request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Bnei Yisrael. He wants us to give him matamim. He wants us to give him different forms of Avodas Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't necessarily insist that everybody should do the mitzvahs in the exact same way. It's not that he wants Orthodox conservative reform. He doesn't want that. He wants everybody to be medactic and all the mitzvahs are served, but it gets boring. Everybody does the same thing. He likes the Lubavitcha Hasidim and the Satra Hasidim if they wouldn't hate Eretz Yisrael so much. All of the Hasidim and the Mitznachim and the centrists and whatever there is over there. They're all from. They all keep all the mitzvahs. He wants matanim. He wants everything. Eilu v'eilu. If you keep all the mitzvahs and everything is alpi kolomei ha'poshim, then it's eilu. You don't say eilu v'eilu v'kim chayim. If the people are just keeping from the 613 mitzvahs, they just keep 307. They say go in the center. The center's position, keep half of the mitzvahs. Sure. That's not it. It means if you keep all the mitzvahs satira and you have like Bisham and Bisilu, the Gemara says, Eilu v'eilu v'kim chayim. That's a prina of matamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys all of the drachim in Avodas Hashem. Morgan Aram quotes from the Arizal that there were really 12 different discholas atzilah corresponding to the 12 different shvatim, that every shevet was intended to be a different derach in Avodas Hashem. And every shevet needs a different nisach atzilah for his shoresh neshama, that he should daven in a certain nisach. And the Pasuk in Yecheskel describes that Lasi Lava, there are going to be 13 gates to enter into Yerushalayim. All the way around, there are going to be 13 gates. Each gate is going to be Mechuvan for each Shevet, Shar Ruben, Shar Shimon, Shar Yehuda, and so on. Every Shevet will have its own gate, and then there's going to be a 13th gate that's going to be the Shar HaKoilo, that's the miscellaneous gate. So that's what the Arizal said, that there are 12 Mechuvan, Hasfilo, Mechuvan for each one of the 12 Shvatim. Whoever knows what Shevet he belongs to should daven in that Nisach Hasfilo that fits in with his Sheresh Neshama. Whoever doesn't know what his Shevet is, so he should daven the Nusach that fits in to everybody, the miscellaneous Nusach. And that's the question, which is the miscellaneous Nusach? So the Ari is all said, of course, that's the Nusach Ari. He said the Nusach Ari is the Shara Kailo. That's why there's a Pirish on the Nusach Ari that's called the Shara Kailo. He explains in the Havdama, Shara Kailo was written by the same author as the Kavanaki. Kavanaki is a classic on Hilchos Gittin that everybody uses. All the Rabbanim are Misadri Gittin. He tells you how to be Misadri Gittin step by step. He happened to have been Lubavitcher. It's always reprinted by Lubavitcher. I think it was a Lubavitcher. So he also wrote a Sefer, Shar HaKoilel, it's the Pirush on the Nusach Ari. It gives you the Makar service. And it gives an introduction, this Morgan Avraham, with the whole background that just like there's a 13th Shar for whoever doesn't know what Shevet he belongs to, and the Sharim represent a way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean you're walking through a Shar? Mechutz L'Yerushalayim Nisi Yerushalayim means you're coming closer to the Beis HaMikdash. You want to walk into the Beis HaMikdash to come to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are different approaches from different perspectives, from here, from there, as long as it's going in the same direction. Let's say someone is a conservative or reform, they're going in a different direction. There's a highway that says this road leads to Tel Aviv. That's not one of the 13 ways to get into Yerushalayim. It's going in the wrong direction. This road leads to Mitzrayim, this road leads to Hebron. But that's not, if there are 13 Sharm that lead to, into Yerushalayim. 13, there are 12 different drachim, and there's one that's the miscellaneous, the shakar, 12 drachim, supposed to be 12 drachim. That was the original plan that Rabbi Shalom wanted, matam, and he wanted 12 different shvatim. Every shevet should do avodas Hashem in a different way. And Baruch Chumash says that every shevet had its own bez nagol. As a Sagimon Sanhedrin, every shevet had its own bez nagol to pasna for that shevet. And every shevet can do avodas Hashem in a different way. It's not a stira. No stira, let's say, how can your rabbi pass like that? Moshe Feinstein says, but yes. It depends who your rabbi is. If your rabbi is much lower than Moshe Feinstein, he gets smicha. And Talmid of Moshe Feinstein. So of course, how can he argue with his rebbe's rebbe? What right does he have to argue? He's so much greater. But if you have prominent rabbis over here, in Montreal there's a rabbi, in Toronto there's a big poysik, and in Los Angeles there's a big poysik, and Yerushalayim, and Hebron, whatever, everywhere. So they have to sit there for Moshe Feinstein? What's this? He's entitled to his opinions, they're entitled to their opinions. They're different. If they're all Talmidim of Rav Moshe, then the proper thing that they should follow is Tzah. But those who are not Talmidim, so the original plan was that there should be different Jerachim and Avodah Hashem. Of course, whatever was brought up to the Bez Nagol, everybody has to follow. The Bez Nagol Paskin. But the Bez Nagol didn't necessarily choose to Paskin on every issue that it has to be Dafke. Everybody has to be put into the same straitjacket. If another shevet wanted to do Avodas Hashem in a different way, I'll be Kloli Horu, I'll be Kloli Apsat, they would do their way. At the time of the Churban, what did Rabbi Gamliel do? You would have touched a client of him. He lost his job over that issue. Apparently the majority opinion was that you don't put everybody in the same, you don't make all the cookies in the same cookie mold. You can't have all the people the same gingerbread mold. People are different. So you have the Rabbi Shalom made people different. And people have different yearnings to do Avodas Hashem in different ways. You just have to be careful that it's not Avodas Zarek, that it's Avodas Hashem. That it should be a Derech and Avodas Hashem. It's not Api Kloli Ha'ruah, it's not Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Chana Vatsiman was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, many close Talmudim. But somehow he was very close to the Chofetz Chaim. After the Chofetz Chaim died, after people said, the Rebbe who's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, they quoted the Chofetz Chaim said they should ask Rabbi Chana Vatsiman for aid. He should lead them in Yerushalayim and other things. So they both wrote about the same thing in that Sfarim. There's a recurring theme. Lachon used to print also Mamorim, not only on Halacha. He used to print Mamorim, like the Chofetz Chaim printed a lot of Mamorim in public journals and newspapers. They have them all collected in the Kol Kisvei Chofetz Chaim. So they used to harp on the Medrash in Parshas Tovah, Hakol Kol Yankiv Hayadayim Yidei Esav, that Hakol Kol Yankiv Medrash as he's referring to Kol HaTorah. Yadayim de Yezu refers to the murderous hands of Esav, that they're shoylet on the Jews, and they bludgeon the Jews to death, and they harass them. So the letter says, "Kol man shehakol kol yankiv, ein yadayim de Yezu sholtes b'yankiv." That if the Jews would learn Torah, Yadayim wouldn't have any shlita. When there's no kol yankiv, then it's yadayim de Yezu. So that's what they always encourage, that the Jews should learn. I mean, generally speaking, the Nazis killed many Talmidei Chacham also. They killed the Tzaddikim and Kedoshim as well, not just the but generally speaking, the letter says that that's the school to be neutral from. Rabbi Willard told me that when he came to his position in the Yehudah of Riverdale, he has a very good Balkhuri there. He said the Balkhuri was laying, the first Shabbos he said the Balkhuri was laying, and on the last Pesach he laying Mahalas. He learned everything from the beginning to the end and said absolutely no mistake. So let's suppose he learned Machalat instead of Mochalat. Rabbi Willig himself was a Balkarian. I've never heard of such a pronunciation. Machala. It says in the Mincha Shai, the correct pronunciation is Mochala, not a Pata, and not a Shvo under the head. Mochla, it should be Mochala. I've never heard that there's such a pronunciation as Machala. I think we should be correct about this. He walked over to him quietly and he whispered to him, that's the last pasuk. He whispered to him that everybody, other parts of the world, they read it from Mochalas, and maybe he's going to lean it over anyway. From after, maybe he should lean it over the second time and say Mochalas instead of Machalas. So they quote that that's what Bishul Leib Diskin recommended all the time. Since you lean it twice anyway, once for Shvi and once for Machalas, because it's the last pasuk, you should lean it once for the Kamas and once for the Pasach. And he said, because there seems to be two opinions in the Medrash, what the correct pronunciation is. Because there's a machlekes hamoroim in the Medrash on this last pasuk, when Esav went to Yishmael and he married Machlas Bat Yishmael ben Avram Achos Nevoyos, was this a mile or was this a chisorek? So the one opinion in the Medrash is that he was zeicha to a mechilas avoinus, that it was a gewaldige mile. Why? Why did he marry a Bat Yishmael ben Avram? He was thinking of being Gaia. Esav had a hiruri tshuva. But besides, it didn't work out. He didn't do tshuva, he wasn't his gaya. But he had for a while, Ishmael was also tshuva l'besof. But Esav was thinking about it. So because he had thoughts of being his gaya, that's the lashon of the Medrash. And the person said, what do you mean his gaya? He was Jewish. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the first sentence was Esav was Yisrael Mumer. Ishmael was a goy, but Esav was Yisrael Mumer. So they talk about that. Sakasha. But Medrash says he was a goy, Esav was a goy. And he had hirurim of being his gaya, which ultimately never led to anything. But because of the plan, the thought, so that's why he got Mechilas Avayim. Rishami in Bikurim says differently, that whenever...